Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is Global Ministry. This is End Time Ministry. End Time Ministry calling on everybody, everybody that don't know me, everybody that do know me. Come, 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 come. I got good news. The Savior is coming back. When he comes back, he's not coming back in a manger. He's not coming back in a helicopter. He's not coming back on a train. He's coming back in power and in great glory. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is End Time Global Link Ministry, giving you the whole remedy, giving you the whole formula. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the only one, and always be the only one, that died on Calvary's cross, came from the grave on the third day morning, got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. He's coming back this time, not in the manger. He's not coming back to die again. He's coming back to judge the world in righteousness, judge the world in his turn, in his hour. Come on, go with me. Come on and go with me. Come on and let me tell you something about a man from Galilee, a man that walked the water, a man that healed the sick, a man that raised the dead, a man that cast out devils, a man of men. And this man is God-man. This is Jesus Christ, which is God in the flesh. Woo! God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is and always will be God in the flesh. Nobody can change it. Nobody can revamp it. Nobody can revise it. He is Lord to the glory of God. This is Elder Bazaar coming on down from Warren, Ohio. We don't stretch on down there in what, Atlanta, Georgia, on Block Talk Radio. Come on, turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Good news from Glory Land. Good news from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attentive ear. Thank you for listening to one more time to the Word of God. But without me carrying the Word of God, I wouldn't have nothing to say. Why? Because there's nothing else to say but Jesus Christ. He's our hope. He's our glory. He's our answer. He's our emancipator. He's our redeemer. He's our bread. He's our water. He's everything that you need for him to be for you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Eternal Father, we come to you at this hour in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for one more day, one more hour that you give us the privilege to come and preach your holy word. We're going to preach it in season, and we're going to preach it out of season. We're going to preach it when they don't want to hear, and we're going to preach it when they do want to hear. We want to thank you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming back not because I said he's coming back. He's coming back because he said he was coming back. This is Elder Bazaar preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know one thing for sure. He's not going to be long in coming. For we are at the end time age. We are at the end of the rope. We are at the end of time. We are at the end of what? The church age. The church age is generated to come to an end. The end of the church age, which I mean, it would be end of the church here on earth. The church is headed for glory. The church is headed for the skies. The church is headed to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's nothing but the truth. Why? Because Jesus Christ said in the last days, in the close of the age, perilous times shall come. Difficult times shall come. Awesome times shall come. Listen what Apostle Paul had to say about the last days. The last days before Christ comes. In what? In the book of 2 Timothy. Amen. In the book of 2 Timothy. third chapter in the book of 2 Timothy, the third chapter. The third chapter, Apostle Paul said, just before Christ comes back to the earth, there's going to be an apostate religion. There's going to be an apostate of falling away. There's going to be a time when the world will come almost unbearable to live in. Well, we are living in that age right now, not tomorrow, not 3 seconds from now, but right now we are living in the age where Christ can appear at any time. And we know that he cannot appear. He cannot appear until biblical prophecy of the church age is being fulfilled. And pretty soon, by 2023, the prophecy of the end time will come to a close just before the rapture of the church. But there's still some adjustments to be made in 2023. But we know that Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, this know also that in the last day, perilous time shall come. Apostle Paul was talking about here, speak of difficult, dangerous times, which Christians live in just before the rapture is encountered. For men shall become lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Those who call themselves Christians, those that call themselves redeemed ones, those that call themselves born again. For these men shall become lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and to parents, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And remember, this describing the end-time church. This is describing the end-time church, the church that fell away from the faith, the church that left the first love, the church that did not continue in the faith once delivered into the saints. What? It is describing the church that has been totally corrupt. Having the form of godliness refers to all trappings of Christianity, but without power, no power. Some of these church members today don't have no power. They have a form of power, but they ain't got the real power. They got power to what? Become lovers of flesh, lovers of money, lovers of women, lovers of killing, lovers of milling and having a form of godliness, but don't have no power to live a holy, righteous life. A sanctified life, separated from sin. Amen. The world says, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you love this world more than you love God, you ain't got nothing. If you love this world more than you love God, you ain't got nothing. You have the form of godliness, but you ain't got no power to resist the lures and the lusting and the killing and the murdering and the backbiting and the hypocrite. You don't have no power, but you have a form of godliness. But denying the power refers to all trappings of Christianity. But without power, the modern church, for all the practical purpose, has denied what? They have denied the cross. They have resented the cross. They have threw the cross in the corner. They have said that it's not necessary for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to come down here on the earth, born in the manger, wrapped in the swaddling clothes, stayed here 33 and one half years. They said it was not necessary for him to suffer. It was not necessary for him to die. It was not necessary for him to be resurrected from the dead. But let me tell you, it was necessary. For without the shedding of blood, there is no way of salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is nothing else that can redeem you from the damnations of sin, death, hell, and the grave. Nothing else. Nothing else in this world can redeem your soul but the blood of Christ. And the world today has rejected the cross of Christ. They have more confidence in the red cross. They have confidence in the blue cross. They have confidence in the crossroad of life. They have confidence in the broken cross. But let me tell you, they ain't putting their soul and body and mind and putting their faith in the cross of Christ. For Christ died. He died. Yes, he did. He died for the sins of the world, that men wouldn't have to perish in eternal fire, eternal damnation, eternal recompense, eternal wrath of God, because the Bible said the wages of sin is death. If you die in your sins, then death is knocking at your front door. If you die without Christ, death is waiting for you. If you die without being received of the Holy Ghost and repentance of your sins and have a changed life, you are bound to go to hell, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Come, listen what it says. It says, denying the power thereof. The modern church, for all practical purpose, has denied the cross. Wow. They denied the cross. The blue cross, the red cross, the double cross. The cross that the Ku Klux Klan holds up, defying race equality. That's not the cross. The cross that I'm talking about is the cross of Christ that can reconcile men, women, boys, and girls back to God. That's the only reconciliation that God provides for man, is that his shed blood will be the whole answer to salvation. Because salvation comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can you preach unless God sends him? And if God sent him, if God ordained him, if God anointed him, if God told him and anointed him, he's got to preach the cross. There's nothing else to preach. If you ain't preaching the cross, you're not preaching the gospel. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. And that means every race, every nationality, every culture, every background. If Jesus Christ died for the black man, Jesus Christ died for the white man, Jesus Christ died for the Jews, Jesus Christ died for the Russians, Jesus Christ died for the American continent, Jesus Christ died for the Mexicans, he died for the whole round world, and he didn't leave nobody out. The Bible said, for whosoever want to come, let him come to the cross of Christ. Because there's always room at the cross for you. There's always room for the lost. There's always room for the drug addict. There's always room for the homosexual. There's already room for the lesbianism. There's already room for the incest. There's already room for the drunkard and the liar and the backbiter and the hypocrite. There's always room at the cross for you if you would repent, because you've got to repent. You've got to turn from your wickedness. You've got to turn from your lying. You've got to turn from your own religion and your own way that you are trying to reach God, because man can never reach God on his own. God had to come to earth. He had to come down here. God had to wrap himself up in human flesh. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God had to become flesh. Almighty God had to become flesh. He had to become like man. Christ had to have a blood system. Christ had to be human. He had to have the anatomy of a man. He had to have blood vessels. He had to have all the facilities that the human body require in order to live. He had to be born sinless. He had to be born without sin. He had to be born perfect. He had to be born, set aside for the anointed one of God. He had to be the one that God sent. And the one that God sent, he sent his only begotten son. And he only got one son. And since God the Father is God the Son, and God the Son is the Holy Ghost, all three are one, and they are co-equal. The whole Godhead became flesh. One God, one baptism, one heaven, one hell, one way to heaven. Woo! One way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. Any other way, you're worse than a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ said, if you want to know the Father, you got to come by me. If you want to know the Father, you're going to have to bow down to me. If you want to know the Father, you're going to have to repent for your sins and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. You got to turn from your wicked ways. And the world today don't want to turn from sin. That's the problem. The world is not going to get no better. I guarantee you, unless the world gets better, the only way the world is going to get better, every human being up on the planet has to repent and turn to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every man and woman, boy and girl, has to repent and turn from every wickedness that's done up on the earth and fall down on their knees and admit to the Lord Jesus Christ and say that you are a sinner. You are lost. You are done. You are wicked. You are abomination to God because you refuse to accept the only sacrifice that God could provide to save your soul. God ain't got no other way. There's no other way God could have saved the human race but through his son, through his own blood, who knew no sin. But what happened? He became sin. He became a sin offer. Christ took the wrath of God on his own. And the wrath of God was proven. It was manifested when Christ died up on the cross. The way they beat him, the way they denied him, the way that they crucified him. You talking about the way that they Jesus Christ, never a man, never a human being, never went through a suffering like Jesus Christ. And he was able to do it because God is his Father. And his Father is a Son. And the Son's name is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Savior and Christ the Anointed. That's when humanity met divinity. And divinity became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son. Yes, we're living in the last days. We're living in the last day just before what? Just before the rapture. Because the rapture is going to occur pretty soon. We ain't got too much time before the rapture will occur. It's going to come. I said it because the Bible said it. I said it because there's nowhere in the Bible that it says that he's not coming. He is coming back for his church, and he's coming back to set up his millennial kingdom. Because when Christ comes the first time, he was born in the manger, wrapped in squalid clothes, stayed on this earth for 33 1/2 years, walked through the streets of Jerusalem, came down to the time when John the Baptist came and said, there's one coming after me that preferred before me. John the Baptist said, I'm going to baptize you with the water. But the one that's coming after me that preferred before me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you receive the power of God, when you receive the renewal of being sanctified, when you be seen the renewal of being justified, you shall be a witness for me. You shall be a witness for me unto the utmost parts of the earth. In other words, you are going to be a representative of me. You are going to show the people through your life and through the life that the Holy Spirit will give you that you are a child of God and you are a member, not just a member, but you are born-again believer and you are on the battlefield fighting for the souls of men, for the children of men to turn from their wicked ways. And John the Baptist says, I'm going to baptize you with water, but the one that's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and with fire. Going to burn up that sin and dross. Going to burn up that hatred. Going to burn up that murder. And you want to burn up everything that's not like God. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to cleanse your soul through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let nobody tell you. Don't let nobody calm you. Don't let nobody jive you. Don't let nobody tell you anything about the salvation that Jesus Christ brought. He brought a blood salvation. It had to be shed by blood. It had to be a spotless blood. It had to be a sinless blood. It had to be a blood not made by him. It had to be the blood of God Almighty. And he had a blood system. And this blood system was manifested in Jesus Christ. Because when Christ came, he come as a man. He come as a human being. And although he was human, he was God. Although he was a human, he still was divine. Although he was born in a manger, he was born without sin. Woo! No sin. Couldn't sin. Tempted of sin. Satan tried to cause him to sin, but he refused to sin. He refused to sin because Lucifer, the devil, came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, why don't you cast these stones of bread? Because Satan knew that Jesus was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, now, if you be the Son of God, cast these stones up to bread. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not live by materialistic goods. Thou shalt not live by your status quo. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus moved on with it. He got him up on top of a tall building. I got him up on a pinnacle and told him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Least the angels would dash your foot against the stone and bear thee up. And Jesus told him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not aggravate the Lord God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord God. Why? Because it's a dangerous thing. See, don't try to make me out of a mystical Messiah, because I don't have nothing to prove to Lucifer, and I don't have nothing to prove to the world. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew his duty. And Satan said, I can't do it. I got to take you up a little higher. And he took him up a little higher and took him on top of the mountain and said, now listen, you can't turn this one down. Yeah, you can't Let this go. I'll tell you, Satan says, if you will fall down and worship me, if you will worship me in the way that I want you to worship me, if you will subdue your power to me and give it to me, I will give you the world. And Jesus says, thou shalt not worship. Thou shalt not worship anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not worship anything before me. I am the Lord God in whom I'm going to give you the answer. Jesus Christ is the very God in the flesh. And if Jesus Christ would have bowed down to Satan, that means that he wouldn't have been the Messiah. But the Messiah told him, thou shalt worship the Lord God in whom you're going to serve and the one you're going to worship. Don't worship no other God, because I am the God of gods and I am the Lord of lords. I am the King of kings. I am the Rose of Sharon. I am the Lily of the Valley. I am the Almighty. I am the Counselor. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Bread of Heaven, and I am the Living Water. I am the Rose that come up out of Judah. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the creator of all mankind. I am the one that made the world and everything therein. I am that I am. And Lucifer, the old devil, said, I can't do it. I can't get him. He is who he says he is. He passed the test. All three temptations. Jesus told Lucifer, told the devil, told the red dragon, told him foot and hand, hand and foot. He told him, I am the Messiah. Satan failed. Satan couldn't get him. Satan couldn't trick him, because the very Lucifer that Jesus was talking to, he knew who exactly Lucifer was. He used to be in heaven, in the presence of God Almighty. He used to be second in command of the heavenly choir. He used to be second in hand in guarding God's throne. He used to be the angel of light. He used to be the one that able to transform himself into angel of light. And he was cast to the earth. He was cast down to the earth. Jesus Christ said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like a bolt of lightning. And he did fall. Oh, what a great fall. He fell all the way down from the heights of heaven to the lowest pit of hell itself. And now he's become an adversary. He's become a dragon. He has become a serpent. He has become a Beelzebub. He has become the wicked one. He has become the son of perdition. He has become the fallen cherubim that's headed for eternal damnation. And Satan wants to what? He wants to conquer the world. He wants to rule the world. He's been trying for the last 6,000 years. He has built kingdoms upon this earth for the last 6,000 years. And the seven kingdoms that he had tried to build is the Egyptian Empire. It failed. He tried the Assyrian Empire. It failed. He tried the Babylonian Empire. It failed. He tried the Median Persian Empire. It failed. He tried the Grecian Empire. It failed. He tried the Roman Empire. And since he tried the Roman Empire, and it failed, but now in the modern day of 2022, and from 2022 to 2023, the Bible tells me in the last days, Lucifer, the old Beelzebub, is going to try to revive the old Roman Empire, and now he's in the making. He tried to rebuild the world empires. It is called, in modern language, the New World Order, the One World Government. He's trying to come back from the old Roman Empire. And the old Roman Empire fell in 476 A.D. And from 476 A.D. to 1948, the Roman Empire was shambles. the Roman Empire. He didn't come back. He didn't come back until 1400 years later, which puts you at 1948 was the beginning of the revived Roman Empire. And the first thing that happened during the revived Roman Empire is that Israel became a nation after the period of 2600 years. And from 1948 until 2022, Israel is back in the land. Israel is getting ready to rebuild the temple. Israel, as old Ezekiel said in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, Israel will be revived from the old valley of dry bones, and the dry bone is the lost house of Israel. And in 1948, the old dry bones begin to knock together, and they begin to move and reel and rock and roll. And from 1948 until 2022, Israel has become a nation for the first time over the period of 1900 years. And Israel is coming back. The Jew is coming back from the east, from the north, from the south, and from the west. And because the Lord God says, before I come back to this earth, before I redeem Israel, before I come start dealing with Israel again, I got to bring them back. And God Almighty knows he's bringing them back. He's bringing them from Europe. He's bringing them from America. He's bringing them from South America. He's bringing them from Ukraine. He's gathering them up to come back into the land of Israel, because the Jews know that the Messiah that they were looking for is the wrong Messiah. They don't know that the false Messiah is already here. They don't know that the building of the temple is for the false Messiah to sit in. And guess what? They'll start building on it now. They're dedicating the priesthood. They're dedicating the vessels. They're dedicating everything back to God that they may build the temple. But they don't recognize they're building the temple for the false Christ, because when the false Christ comes, he's going to be a witness and tell the Jewish people that they have a right to build their temple, and the Jews are going to accept this false Christ as the true Christ. But he's not going to be the true Christ, because the true Christ told the Jewish people in the last days, I'm going to tell you something, Israel, I know what you're planning to do. I know that I told you, if I come in my Father's name, you will not receive me. If I come in my Father's name, you will reject me. But if any man comes in his own name, which is the Antichrist, is going to come in his own name. And by coming in his own name, the Jews are going to receive him. The Jews are going to receive this man of sin, this Antichrist that's been talked about ever since the beginning of creation. This Antichrist is been talked about over the period of 6,000 years, which is six millenniums. The world has been looking for this man. The world and the Jewish people is looking for this man. Well, the time has come. The time is here. Everything is falling in place exactly the way the Lord said it would fall. In the book of Daniel, Daniel said this Antichrist will come from the fallen Roman Empire. It will come from Western Europe. He will come from one of the 10 horns that will rise up out of the earth, that will arise up out of the 10 horns that's among the nations of the world, the nations of the world. We'll witness the rise of the 10 horns. The 10 horns represent, listen to what I'm saying. The 10 horns will represent the 10 European comet market. The European comet market. the markets. What is the 10 European common markets? The 10 European common markets. Is the 10 European common horns, crowns, and toes. The European common market started in exactly 1948. The first three, listen to what I'm saying. The first three that came into existence was in 1948. Three horns, three toes, 10 crowns came into existence, which were Denmark, Great Britain, and Ireland, 1948. Three came in 1952. Three more came in, Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. That's six toes, six horns, 10 crowns came into existence. The next three, West Germany, France, and Italy. That's nine horns. These nine horns are NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They're in power today. They're planning to rule the world. They're planning to conquer the world. They're planning to rule the whole round world through the Antichrist. The Antichrist is here. He is waiting for the proper time for him to take over this planet. This pretty soon will be handed fully over to Satan. Let me stop there. The world is getting ready to be handed over to Satan. And you say, well, brother, but God, the devil has control of the world now. Yes, he does. But God is going to let him have the full control of it. And by him having full control of it, it's going to be a time of trouble like never before on the planet. Because the devil is going to rule this planet for seven long years. The first 3.5 years is going to be a peace treaty, the rebuilding of the temple. It's going to be the rise of the Antichrist. It's going to be the control of the Antichrist taking control of the planet. The planet Earth belongs to Satan. What you say? Who is the God of this world? This is what the Bible says. Who is the God of this world? And I know God rules the world, but God had a problem with the human race. God had a serious problem with mankind. God had a difficult problem to convince man that there is one God, who rules the world under his power. But Satan says, I got the right to rule the human race because of what Adam and Eve done in the garden. Well, what did Adam and Eve do in the garden? They disobeyed God. And by their disobedience, God had to take his hands off of mankind because Adam and Eve disobeyed him. And Satan took over the human race. Yes, he did. He took over the human race. He degraded the human race. He lowered down, he brought the human race down to his lowest level of living, lowest level of holiness, lowest level of loving one another. He done brought it down to almost the zero factor. And the Bible gives us a witness that he is, this is what it says, fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Four and four of 2 Corinthians says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They're lost because they will not accept the message of the cross. In whom the God of this world, this is what it says, in whom the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not the truth. The world is messed up because people are blinded from not willing to receive the truth. A willful blindness, they don't want it. Least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Satan rules the world. He rules the whole human race. There's nobody up on this world born saved. Nobody was born sanctified. Nobody was born justified. Every man, woman, boy, or girl was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Did my mother conceive me? So everybody on this planet was born lost. L-O-S-T. And they was lost because of what Adam and Eve done. And they did what God told them not to do. And Satan took over. He took over. And ever since then, there's been murdering and killing and all kinds of wickedness upon the face. It got so bad one time until the Lord said, I got to destroy the world by water. I got to get rid of sin. I got to get rid of all the incarnality. I got to get rid of iniquity. So I'm going to cause a flood to come upon the earth and wipe off every human being on the planet but except for 8 people. Listen to what I'm saying. Satan caused that. Satan did that. Satan had people so blinded that they could not see that the ark was a way of salvation, a way to escape the wrath of God, a way to escape hell's fire, a way to escape the water. But they didn't believe what Noah was preaching. They didn't believe in rain. They didn't believe in the boat. They didn't believe what Noah was talking about. They didn't believe in nothing because the world had come so corrupt that every imagination of man's thought was only what? Evil. Evil, diabolical, sinister. Every demon in hell had deceived the people in Noah's day. Every demigod deceived, every Nephilim deceived, every demon and the prince power of the earth deceived every human being except for 8 people. 8 people out of billions of people up on the earth in that day. How do I know there was a billion people up on the earth in that day? Because in that day, men lived 969 years. In other words, they were able to remultiply the earth in the millennium, in that second millennium. They were able to multiply and replenish the earth, but there was such a default in the replenishing of the earth because Satan said, I'm going to do something that I can corrupt every seed of man up on the planet. You hear what I'm saying? Satan is the god of this world. That's why you got so much killing, baby killing, pornography, homosexual, lesbianism, incest, child pornography, venereal diseases, every disease in the book, from gonorrhea, syphilis, sickness, viruses. Satan said, I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to eliminate him. And all that he's been talking about, the only way that Satan can eliminate any human being up on this earth is that they reject the plan of salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. The only way that the people could be saved in the days of Noah, they had to get on the ark. They had to leave their loved one. They had to turn against the world and get on the ark. And those that did not get on the ark, they were lost because the ark door was shut. And when it was shut, it could not be opened no more. And when it was shut, they tell me it would begin to rain. And it rained. Good God Almighty. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It rained on a Monday. It rained on a Tuesday. It rained on a Thursday. It rained on a Friday. It rained. Oh, did it rain? It rained through the night. It rained at noonday. It rained so much until the water was bubbling up from the deep and water came up out of the earth. And water came down on the earth. It rained until the mountains were covered. It rained until the people got to a high ground, but it kept on raining. Oh, didn't it rain? Oh, it rained so bad until they made a song out of it. Oh, didn't it rain? Didn't it rain 40 days? Didn't it rain? It rained. It rained till the people began to cry out. It rained until everybody was looking at each other. It rained until they told each other, we made a big mistake, but it's too late. And then about what? About 2,000 years later, a man from Galilee walked the shores of Judea, walked the shores of Galilee, and he told, what you say? He told the disciples. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. So shall it be when Jesus gets ready to come back. So shall it be when the clouds get dark. And so shall it be when the Antichrist comes. So shall it be when the temple is being rebuilt. So shall it be when the trumpet gets ready to sound. So shall it be when the church begins to fall away from the faith. When the church becomes corrupt. Now, I ain't talking about the true church, because the true church is uncorruptible. The true church is last forever. True church cannot be destroyed. True church cannot burn. The true church cannot be grounded, because Jesus said to the disciples, up on the rock, oh, Lord, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, God Almighty, shall not prevail against it. And the devil has been trying to destroy the church for over 6,000 years. And he haven't done it. He can't do it. Because when Christ saves you, when Christ redeems you, he can't be unredeemed. He can't be unsaved. He can't be unsanctified. The Bible says Jesus died once and for all. And when he died once and for all, that one sacrifice was sufficient enough to keep you forever and keep you forever. Keep you forever and never perish. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish. So when you come to Christ, you come to Christ by repenting of your sins and confessing your sins. You come to Christ by confessing Jesus Christ died for your stinky, low-down, dirty stuff that you have done. And we all have done some low-down, dirty stuff. We have been so sinful and so rebellious and so crazy about the world and the things that's going on in the world. We love the world more than we love God. And the world today is in love with the world. People are in love with the world more than in love with the God of heaven. And they have rebelled against the righteousness of God. The God of this world, Satan, is trying to destroy mankind. He's the God of this world. He's the God that is behind every foul, low-down, dirty sin. He's a blasphemer. He blasphemes God every day. People are blaspheming his name. If you blaspheme, whenever you speak against the word of God or speak against the spirit of God, you blaspheme it. You rebellion against God. And Noah knew. He knew. He gave the people in that day. God gave the people in that day 120 years to amen their ways. And they refused to amen their ways. They refused to turn from sin and get on the boat. And people today is turning from the cross. They're turning away from the shed blood. They're turning away from the resurrection. They're turning away from the suffering of Jesus Christ. They're turning away from the redemption plan. They said it's not necessary to come to Christ, but there is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved no other way. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from, or what's your status quo. Don't care nothing about your degrees. I don't care nothing about the color of your skin. I'm concerned about your soul. You only got one. And if you miss heaven, hell will be your home. If you miss heaven, you will burn for eternity. If you miss heaven, you will have no more rest, neither day or night. If you miss heaven, you'll be lost forever. If you miss heaven, you'll be separated from God forever. And to be separated from God means you've got to pay your penalty for sin. Where? In hell. You got to pay for your sins in hell. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot what? You cannot save yourself. Jesus Christ has to save you. So who is the God of this world? Satan is. And his time is running out. He done been God of this world for 6,000 years. He done built 7 kingdoms, 7 empires, 7 monarchs. He have been 7 kingdoms up on this earth, and none of them lasted for more or over than 600 years. Everyone that was brought up, they failed because it was not built on a solid ground. It was built on idolatry. It was built on false gods. It was built on sex. It was built on money. It was built on prestige. It was built on selfishness. It was built on everything but the word of God. And the word of God is the only solid rock that we have. And that rock, I said that rock is Jesus Christ. Upon Jesus is the solid rock. Upon Jesus is redemption. Upon Jesus is sanctification. Upon Jesus is a resurrection. He's coming back just like he said he would. He's coming back just like he said he promised. And now we're living in that last day where Satan is on his last run. God is getting ready to close it down. And guess what? When Christ comes and get the church, listen to me. When Christ comes and get the church, which is verified in 2 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. The Bible says Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voices of archangels, and the trumpets of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when the body of Christ is removed, and somebody said, well, who can go to heaven? Nobody can go to heaven without Jesus. Somebody said, I might can get there by my denomination. I might can get there by my mama. I might can get there by how I look. They might get there, but how much money y'all got? No, 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 no. You won't get there but by one way. And that one way is Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth and the light. No man can get to the Father but by him. The one way salvation is Jesus Christ. But now some say I'm a Baptist. That's not the way. Some say I'm Church of God in Christ. That's not the way. Some say I'm Presbyterian. That's not the way. Some say I'm Jehovah's Witness. That's not the way. Some say I'm Mormonism. That's not the way. You can't get to heaven on a name of a denomination. Jesus Christ says if a man tried to enter the kingdom of God another way, he's worse than a thief and a robber. And we know that a robber and a thief cannot get to heaven because they're robbers, they're thieving, and they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement for sin, because it was for sin that he died for. He not died for the whole world, but he died for the individual that he may come and receive eternal life. So Satan says, since he's the God of this world, he's trying to rule like God, but he can't rule like God. Because Satan can only do three things. He kills, he robs, and he destroys. That's the only thing he can do. Can't do nothing else. He can't give you eternal life. He can't give you joy. He can't give you peace. He can't give you love. He can't give you long suffering. He can't give you joy. Why? Because that's not his attributes. His attributes is murder. His attribute is selfishness. His attribute is gluttony. His attributes are wicked. He cannot save nobody. He cannot redeem nobody. He have never died for anybody. He has never hung on a tree for anybody. He never had nails through his hand. He never had a pierced side. He never had a crown thrown on his head. He never had anything. So the only thing he can do is destroy. And he's destroying lives today by the thousands, by the millions. And since he's a God of this world, his reign is almost over. He will reign over this earth for 7 years. And after the 7 years are over, he's got to end his reign. He will no longer have power over mankind, because when Christ comes, listen to what I'm saying. When Christ comes after now, the 7 year tribulation, because the 7 year tribulation is what? The 7 year tribulation is the time in which Satan will rule the world, and men will have a choice to accept the Antichrist or accept Jesus Christ. The church will be gone. You hear what I said? The church will be gone. The church will be raptured up in a moment. Listen, in a moment. A twinkling of an eye, faster than light, more speed than a speeding bullet. The rapture will be more powerful than a freight train. Christ will automatically, uniquely change a mortal body into immortality, and we shall be caught up. Oh, yeah. In the middle of the air, and meet the Lord at the judgment seat of Bema seat. The judgment of the saints will happen at the rapture. The rapture will occur at the rapture. The dead in Christ will rise, and those that died in Christ will come up out the graves, and we that remain alive shall be caught up, and there will be a vacuum left after the rapture. There will be airplane crashes. There will be babies missing. There will be car crashes. There will be family looking for the loved one. There will be confusion and strife when the rapture occurs. Millions of people will be missing from around the world, from every continent, from every country. Good God Almighty, America will suffer after the rapture. Russia, Argentina, South America, Mexico, Western Europe will suffer the rapture. The Eastern Europe will suffer the rapture. Every continent will somebody be missing from the planet. Nobody can catch the rapture. We don't know what hour or what day that Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church. But we can give you a very unique, time when the rapture is going to occur. How do I know? My Bible tells me that when Christ get ready to come back, when the rapture get ready to come back, we will know it by what the Jews are getting ready and planning to do to rebuild the temple. Whenever you see the Jews orchestrating and planning to rebuild the temple that was destroyed in 70 AD and getting ready to restore it in 2023, the rapture is not far away. The rapture is right upon us, because the rapture is the sign that when Christ comes, he's going to remove the church. And by him removing the church, the Antichrist can come. And he will make a covenant with the Jewish people that he will give them the permission to rebuild the temple. And now they're planning to rebuild the temple under the orchestrating of finding five red heifers, five red female cows, heifers, to sanctify the temple site. They got the helpers. They're getting ready to rebuild the temple through the priesthood. They got the vessels. They got the Ark of the Covenant. They're planning to build it in the same spot that it was tore down at. And they're making this decision on how and where it's going to be built. That's the sign that the rapture is right on us. The rapture is not far away. When you see the World War III coming up, when you see Russia, when you see the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, where it says Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, are planning to invade Israel, the rapture is near. When you see Putin planning to come over from the north and come down in Israel and capture the oil reservoirs and capture the farmland and capture the cattle and the sheep and take control of the Middle East, the rapture is near. When you see the kingdom and nations of the world conjuring to plot destroy Israel, the rapture is near. When you see all these things coming to pass, the time is nigh. When you see domestic violence is spreading across the world, when you see homosexual on the increase, when you see lesbianism on the increase, when you see incest on the increase, when you see the increase of prostitution, when you see the increase of drug cartels, when you see the rebellion of mankind, rebelling against God, the rapture is near, because the Lord said, I will take you from the hour of temptation and the test that's coming upon the earth that dwells therein. So the church will be removed, because the church is not called to wrath, but the church is called out to be with the Lord in the middle of there. Oh, yes, it is. It's coming. It can't last too much longer. The police department is looking for men to become policemen. but they can't find none. The doctors are short. The farmers are short. People can't get food off of the shelves anymore because everything is shortening up. And the time for the rapture is shortening up. Men is getting evil and evil every day, wicked every day. Men are becoming more rebellious than ever in times in history. Men are refusing to believe that there's a God in heaven. There's a unique one who sits on the throne that all power in heaven and earth is in. There's a God that made preservation and reservation to come down here through 42 generations and die on Calvary's cross and give his son to the world that through him men could be saved. Men are rejecting that. Men are refusing that. Men said, I don't have no dealing with that. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want even to come to the realization that Jesus Christ is coming back. The world will be caught off guard, and it will be a sad day. It will be a devastating day. The church age will be over. The Bible says the last church age will be the last church age. And the last church age in the Bible, according to Revelation, the third chapter, is Laodicea, the apostate church. The apostate church that denied the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God being manifested in the flesh. They deny the birth of Jesus Christ. They deny the miracles of Jesus Christ. They deny the suffering of Jesus Christ. They deny the death of Jesus Christ. They deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They totally refuse to accept it by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. Without faith, you cannot be saved. For faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. How can you hear it without a preacher? A real preacher. And how can you preach unless God Almighty sends him? If God don't send him, he's not a preacher. If God don't anoint him, he's not a preacher. If God don't tell him to preach the cross, he's not a preacher. Because preaching of the cross to those that are not saved is foolishness. But to those that are saved, it is the power of the living God. Apostle Paul said, if another man, another angel, another being, or another entity come preaching another Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed from the face of the earth, because there is no other name given among men where men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And Satan is the god of this age, and his time is almost up. He got the hand in his credentials. And he would have to hand the money after the tribulation period. At the tribulation period, the Bible says an angel came down out of heaven with a great chain in his hand. And he laid hand on the dragon. That's found in the 20th chapter of Revelation. He will lay his hand on a great chain. In other words, this angel will have great authority to catch hold of Lucifer, the dragon, the Beelzebub, the old serpent, and lock him up. You hear what I said? Lock him up and throw him in the bottomless pit. And he would have to stay there in that bottomless pit, and all his demons and all his cohorts and all his demigods and all his wickedness. And they would have to be locked up for 1,000 years of incarceration. He'll be in the bottomless pit and darkness for 1,000 years. and the angel have that authority. Why? Because there's none, no other power on the face of the earth to bind Satan. And that is the mighty angel. Michael, I believe it's Michael, the mighty angel, will bound him and lock him up for 1,000 years. And the 1,000 years is where Christ will rule and reign, not with a political government, not with some kind of man-made government, but with a theocracy government, where God Almighty will rule the world with a rod of iron through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will rule and reign in Jerusalem. And right now, Jerusalem is getting set up. They're getting ready. They're getting ready for this tribulation period. They get everything in place. They're setting the table. The World Councils of Churches is getting ready, for the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will come in the middle of the tribulation. The first 3.5 years will be a semi-peace, but a peace of deception. But the second 3.5 years is going to be hell on earth. It will be a day of sadness. It will be a day of recompense. It will be a day of regret, because there's going to be such a time coming that you will not be able to buy nor sell anything unless you receive the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will be instigated and made demanded by the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is going to be resurrected by an assassination of him. He's going to be assassinated. Whereas in the Bible, is this year, Antichrist is going to be assassinated. He's going to be assassinated with a deadly wound towards the head. That means an assassin will shoot him and kill him with a bullet in the head. Listen to me what I'm saying. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The assassin will shoot the Antichrist with a bullet in the head, and he will be killed. They are going to lay him in the morgue. You hear what I said? And he will lay in the morgue for 3 days. And 3 nights. And the 3 days and 3 nights will give Lucifer time enough to have a battle in heaven with Michael and his archangels. And the angels will be cast out. He will be cast out of heaven. And when Lucifer is cast out of heaven and all his angels, he will make his way to incarnate himself, listen, in the Antichrist and raise him from the dead. Well, proof. Here's proof from the God's word. Here's proof. Thirteenth chapter of Revelation. Let's go to the 13th chapter of Revelation. 13th chapter of Revelation. We're going to start down here at the 3rd verse. This is what it says. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And one of his heads is the 11th horn that will come up out of Western Europe, which represents the Antichrist and the country that he's coming from. The Antichrist literally, authentically, and certain to come from the King of Spain. He will come from Spain. He will be a Latino. He will be a inbred of Spanish and Hebrew. He will have descended from the throne of David, and he's alive today. He cannot do nothing. He can't make a move. He can't come up and say what he is until the rapture, until the final day in which the temple will be building, and it will be built by the time of the middle of the tribulation. Because when he comes, he's going to come and do what? Set in the temple. But before he set to the temple, guess what got to happen? I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. When this Antichrist is resurrected by Lucifer, by the devil himself, he will come back from the dead. And when he comes back from the dead, it's going to be a miracle that the world will say, he did what Jesus done. But it wasn't done by the power of God. It was done by the power of Satan. And Satan is trying to imitate and convince the world that he is Jesus Christ when he is literally not Jesus Christ. He is Lucifer doing a miracle that states that Jesus Christ came back from the dead 3 days and three nights. So he's doing a duplicate, and the world receives it as him being the being the true Christ, when he will be the Antichrist. He will be the devil himself in the flesh. I'll say it again. He will be the devil in the flesh, the Antichrist. When he comes back from the dead, he will claim that he is God Almighty. Where at? Where is he going to claim this? Let's see where he's going to claim this. Let's go to the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians and see what it says here. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple. What temple? The temple that the Jews are constructing to be rebuilt now. This is the temple in which the Antichrist will set in. He will desecrate, abominate the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. He will desecrate the temple and remove the Ark of the Covenant and say, what? I am God. This year's Ark of the Covenant is not God. I am God. That's what he would say. I am God. I will rule, showing himself that he is God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that withholding, that he might be revealed in the last time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he, the church, only he, the church, only he, the church who now lets, will let, until the church be taken out of the way. The church has to be removed. And so since the church has removed the Antichrist and rise and do the faith resurrection and come back from the dead and tell the world that he is God, and since the world is so blinded, they will believe that this man is God Almighty. And when they accept him that he's God Almighty, including the Jews, that tell me the Antichrist will make an executive order and nail it on the wall of destruction and tell the world, unless you receive the mark of the beast on your forehead or on the back of your hand, you cannot neither buy nor sell until you give yourself over to worship this false Christ. Otherwise, you will die during the tribulation period. Now, that's bad news. That's bad news. How do this thing work? Satan will have control of three main items. And that is, he will have control of the political government. He will have control of the religious government. He will have control of the political, economical. He will have control of all the economic. And he will tell the world. He will announce the world. He will take an idol. He will take an image of the beast and set it in the temple. And he will call that this image of the beast speaks and talks. And this image of the beast will tell the world that if you don't receive the mark on your forehead or on your right hand, you will not be able to buy nor sell anything. You will not have insurance. You will not be able to live in your home. You will not be able to buy or sell. You will not be able to have a bank account. You will not be able to do any kind of business unless you have the mark of the beast to show the world that you are playing allegiance to the Antichrist and believe that he required one thing. He does not require holiness. He does not require repentance. He does not require justification. He does not require love. He requires that you will worship him and the image. That's all. You just have to bow down and submit yourself by the mark of the beast. And once you receive this mark of the beast, you will never, ever, forever be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Your soul will be damned forever through eternity. Your soul will be lost forever eternity. You will never be able to repent and turn to the true God through faith if you receive that mark. Once you receive that mark, it has a virus in it. And this virus has power enough to eliminate your God conscience. Oh, come on, y'all. This mark of the beast will eliminate your God consciousness. You wouldn't even think about serving God. You will be initiated to worship nothing but the Antichrist. And he is on his way. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the Word of God. Keep your eyes on things pertaining to the glory of God. But also, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. But that is a city in which Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Keep your eyes on the Jewish temple. Keep your eyes on the five red heifers. Keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Keep your eyes on the Gihon Spring. keep your eyes on the minute that they lay the first stone, because that stone is telling you that the rapture is not far off. The rapture is going to be so fast, it's going to make your head swim like a storm is in the water. And folks are going to lose their mind. Folks are going to jump off a building. Folks are going to do all kind of wicked things after the rapture of the church. There will be riots in the street. There will be everything out of order because Satan is getting ready to bring down everything he has left to destroy mankind. But he's never going to do it. He's lost already. Only one that he's going to get is the ones that reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what? If he looks like he's got the majority, well, I'd rather be with the minority than with the majority, because the Bible says broad is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. That leads to destruction. Broad is the way that leads to eternal damnation. Because narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life, and very few will find it. There's going to be a few people that finds Christ in the ages past, in this age, and the age to come. There are going to be people in the tribulation period that's going to have what? That's going to hear the gospel. Not from the church, not from some kind of organization, but they're going to hear it from the 144,000. 144,000 are going to be able and endued with power from on high to preach the gospel for 3.5 years. It's going to be powerful, because it says in the 7th chapter of Revelation. In the 7th chapter of Revelation, it says, after these things, in the 7th chapter, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, you God Almighty, listen, to whom it was given to hurt the earth nor the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the service of our God in their foreheads, to God Almighty. And I heard the number of them which was sealed. And I heard, yes I did, I heard it yesterday. I hear it now, and I'm going to hear it in the future. And there was sealed, yeah, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Yeah. And this will only happen, after the rapture of the church. Yeah. This will happen in the time of the first part of the tribulation period. This will happen when Bazard is gone to glory. This will happen because the church age will be over. Yeah. I don't have to worry about a hymn book anymore because I'm going with it. I don't have to worry about reading the Bible anymore, because I'll be there in which the Bible talks about. I don't have to worry about times and troubles and tribulations, because I'll be there. I don't have to worry about what people say about me. I don't have to worry, because where I'm going, it's always howdy and never goodbye. Yeah, where I'm going, no more crying and no more dying. Where I'm going, it'll always be howdy and never goodbye. Yeah. And then John said, I saw the 12 tribes. What did you see, John? I saw Judah was sealed with 12,000. I saw Reuben sealed with 12,000. I saw Gad with 12,000. I saw the tribe of Asher, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Levi, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. I saw the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Was sealed of the tribe of Benjamin, was 12,000. I saw 12,000 times 12 equals 144,000. These 144,000 will have a 3.5-year mission. They will be preaching for 3.5 years. They will be preaching for 1,260 days. They will be preaching for 42 months, and they will be preaching for times and times and dividing time. In other words, the first 3.5 years, Israel. Yeah, Israel, the Jewish nation that came up out the land of Egypt, will be preaching. Yeah, and the Lord said, I'm coming back to the Jews, and I'm going to let them preach the last message. Yeah, and they preached. Well, yes, they did. They preached about the return of Christ and what he's going to do when he gets back here. He's going to preach the birth, death, and the resurrection. They're going to preach the Messiah is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. They're going to preach the redemption story. Yeah, like it's supposed to be preached. They ain't going to preach prosperity. They're not going to preach richness. They're going to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus died and rose again. And they're going to preach on a Monday, on Tuesday, yeah. On Wednesday, yeah. On Thursday, yeah. On Friday, yeah. On Sunday, yes, they are. They're going to preach in January, February, March, and April. Yeah, in May, June, and July, August, September, October, and November. They're going to preach for 3.5 years continually. They got a mission to do. This is the evangelistic mission. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew, he said the end is not going to come. It's not going to come until the gospel be preached to what? All the world. And the Jews are going to be the ones to see that it gets done. They're going to preach to their media, to Twitters, YouTube. They're going to be preaching to every media station on the internet. Facebook going to hear about it. Every nation, every country, every state, every community. Every human being is going to appear on the new technology that man has invented. From New York all the way to California. From California all the way to Dallas, Texas. From Dallas, Texas all the way to North Dakota. All the way up into Canada. All the way up into the Antarctic. The gospel is going to be preached around the world. And the world is going to hear what the Jews got to say about it. And the Jews are going to recognize that this Jesus that we have rejected for the last 2,600 years is the one that died. Oh, he died on Calvary's cross, came back from the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Yes, he's going to do it. God's going to do this. It might sound like a fairy story, but it's real. It may sound like something to come out of a place called the Twilight Zone, but God is going to do it. His name is going to be a witness around the world. And they're going to preach for the first 3.5 years, and The Antichrist is going to try to get rid of them, but they can't get rid of them until the time to come. And by this, the people that were left after the rapture that didn't get saved, so they're going to be caught in the rapture, is going to hear the gospel, and they're going to receive Christ in their life. These are called the tribulation saints. There's four classes of saints in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. The Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints. Huh? The Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, the Tribulation saints, and the Millennium saints. Four classes will we be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Only Jesus Christ can redeem your soul. Only the grace of God can redeem your soul. Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can give you life forevermore. Then the ninth verse, after the 144,000 get through with the mission, John looked and said, after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, with robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sat upon the throne, and to the Lamb, and all the angels, good God Almighty, look here. All the angels stood around and about the throne of God, and about the elders, the 24 elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, amen, amen. Blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. These are the tribulation saints. At this time, the church will be in glory land, looking down on these numbers that no man can number. And then one of the elders, look here, answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, you know. Oh, yes, you know. And he said unto me, these are they. Which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes, good God Almighty. They have washed their soul, they have washed their spirit, and washed their robes and made them white, good God Almighty. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, if you want to be made white, you need a wash job. If you want to be made right, you need a wash job. If you want to be justified, you need a wash job. If you want to be sanctified, you need a wash job. And the only thing that can wash your sins away, is the blood of Christ. Yeah, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. No, these are the saints that got converted under the preaching of the 144,000. No, they're not the overwinners. No, they're not the Baptists. No, they're not the Presbyterians. No, they're not none of that class of people. These people are the same people down through generations that inherit this right through Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 tribes of Israel. And now here is 144,000 that descended down to the annals of time until the time in which they will be able to do this ministry. And since the Jews will have to be cut off from the olive tree during the tribulation period, God is going to engraft the Jews back in to finish the work, finish the job. There won't be no church meetings. There won't be no Sunday school. There'll be, what, 144,000 consistently preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is the millennium reign of Jesus Christ is soon to be set up. Well, in that time in which this will begin very soon, and I don't know, it looks very close. It looks very close, closer than I can expect it. As way that the Jews are preparing to meet the Messiah and build the temple, 2023, you're sitting right on a dynamite keg. Because when they get ready to lay that first brick and get the priest together and start laying that temple, you better pass in your seatbelt and repent and turn to Jesus Christ and accept him before the rapture. Because after the rapture, there's not going to be no more raptures, only but the tribulation saints. If you miss it, you will have to face the Antichrist. You will have to face Satan face to face. And he will have power to deceive and send you lies that you will believe a lie before you believe the truth. And since the world don't want to believe the truth, and the truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died and rose again, and he's coming back for a church. That's the truth. By his blood, we can receive redemption. Through his blood, we can be sanctified and cleansed. Through his blood, we can have our name written in the Lamb's book of life. And they will go through the great tribulation. And the great tribulation is a little different from the first tribulation, because second part of the tribulation is called the great tribulation because there's going to be a lot of bloodshed, a lot of bloodshed. There's going to be beheading like never before. People are going to be beheaded by the Antichrist and be slaughtered in church lawns. They're going to be slaughtered everywhere. They can set up a guillotine. Train cars are going to get loads of people, take them to the concentration camps and prepare them to be slain and just thrown in the grave. It's going to be bad. You talking about bad. It's going to be hell on earth during the latter part of the 3.5 years. Children will turn against their parents, parents against their in folks, outlaws, in-laws, second cousin, first cousin. It will be a rebellion against the family, and Satan will take no wooden nickels. People will be stamped with a computer chip on their forehead or on their right hand. We call that the business hand. The right hand is a power hand. And your power is you got a power to make a decision. On your forehead shows you authority. On your right hand shows you the right that you made a choice. And when you receive that mark, there is no turning back. You have been totally deceived by Lucifer, the great deceiver, the great liar, the great murderer, the great sin, the great sin maker. He can't make nothing but sin. He can't do nothing else. He cannot live holy. Satan can't live holy. Satan cannot be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He can't. He never will. The only ones that can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ is the human race. Angels cannot be redeemed. Cherubims cannot be redeemed. Seraphims cannot be redeemed. Only thing that can be redeemed by the blood is the human race. And Jesus said, everybody that said, Lord, Lord, don't mean they've been redeemed. Everybody that said, Lord, I did miracles. I did things. I paid my tithes. I've been to church. I'm a doorkeeper. I worked in the kitchen. I'm a secretary. I sung in the choir. I did all these things. The Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't know you. I never saved you because you did not repent. You wasn't sorry for your sin. You used the influence of righteous living as a hypocritical scapegoat, believing if you do good and do certain things, you can go to heaven, but you can't get to heaven off of works. You're going to heaven from the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother, this is Elder Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is the hour that we need to recognize that it is a serious situation going on. And 2023 is a year of repenting, a year of getting your heart right, a year of making up your mind, a year where it's going to be devastating and it's not going to be pretty. Please make up your mind. Don't believe all these old crazy religions and denominations going around. Don't believe all these old fake phony preachers that don't believe in the true word of God. Don't you accept no wooden nickel. Don't you accept none other but the word of God. Because if you do, you are going to go to hell. You're going to hell. I'm not your judge. I ain't got no heaven, no hell to put nobody in. I don't exalt myself above nobody. I don't claim to be nothing but what? A child of God and a man of God to preach the word of God for people to understand God loves you. God hates sin. God suffers every time a soul dies without him. God is hurt when people send themselves to hell by not receiving his glorious gift. And his gift is eternal life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The devil got all kind of gods, all kind of names, all kind of cults, all kind of denominations, all kind of ways, all kinds of little skittishes that they think they can fool God. When you a fool for thinking you can fool God, you can't fool God. You can't trick God. And definitely you can't pimp him. And world today is trying to pimp God. And God is tired of it. God is tired of it. He ain't tired of saving. But he's tired of man trying to make a fool out of God, and you can't do it. Yes, I love going to church. But going to church ain't going to save you. You shaking the preacher's hand is not going to save you. Your mama, your daddy, your dog, your cat, your co-worker, your boss on your job cannot save you. The only thing to save you that God has already provided for you is his shed blood on Calvary. Come on now. I know the devil don't like that. Don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about the blood. Don't talk about the suffering. Don't talk about the resurrection. Don't talk about his suffering. Don't talk about what he said on the cross. Don't talk about how long he stayed in the grave. Don't talk about that. Let's talk about something else that we can exclude the cross. You can't exclude it. If you exclude it, you're going to exclude yourself right into hell, because you can't work and attain salvation off of your work. You can't do it, and you're not going to do it. Whatever you sow in this life, you're going to reap at the end. And you may think that you can make it without Jesus Christ living inside of you, walking inside of you, talking inside of you, and living inside of you. You think you can go to heaven off of that? Guess what? If you don't have that in you, you're lost. And you can't go to heaven lost. If one sinner, oh good God Almighty, listen, if one sinner could just see how awesome heaven is and how bright is heaven is and how much love is in heaven. If one sinner, he will come back and tell you, man, I cannot be in that kind of holiness. I cannot stand that holiness. It's too bright for me. It's too frightful for me. I can't do it. I got to go someplace where it's dark. I got to go someplace because what I want to do in heaven, I'm embarrassed. And God will not put up with sin no more throughout eternity. It will be diminished. And the only place where you can find sin will be in hell itself. And it says that all those that's not found written in the book of life, or in the Lamb book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire. Meditate on these words. Meditate on the crucifixion of Jesus. God himself became a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger 1,000 years ago. Laid in a manger 2,000 ago. Stayed on this earth for 33.5 years. Walked over 200 miles during his lifetime. Because really, he didn't have to walk that far because he could speak somewhere else and be 1,000,000 miles away and speak the word and we'll be done. Meditate on all that he done for you. All that he went through for you. All that he said for you. If you reject it, you got to pay for your own sins. You got to pay for your own sin. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is to be separated from God, and you pay for your own sins through torment, brimstone and fire. Gritting and gnashing of your teeth, you will spend eternity forever because you refuse to come to the lowly Jesus and tell him, Lord, I repent. I'm turning from my sins. I'm giving my heart to you. Jesus, walk into my life. Come on. Have mercy on me. I know I need you. I don't need you a few days. I need you the rest of my life. I want to see you one day. I want to see the nail-scarred hands. I want to see the thorn that was stuck in your brow. I want to see the pierced side. I want to see the nails in your feet. I want to see what you've done for me. And I want to live with that. And I'm going to adore that. And I'm going to love that because you are so wonderful. Lord Jesus, you are so wonderful. All the dirt that I don't put out, you still love me. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful to me. Whoever's out there, listen to what I got to say. This is Elder Bizarre. I'm putting the word of God to you now stronger than ever. And I'm getting strength because I know for a fact I only got a short time. Whether I go tomorrow or whether I go next year or whether I go next month, I'm putting all that I have out. I'm about to finish my race. Oh, hallelujah. I've been doing this for 57 years, 57 years preaching the gospel, warning people, don't go to hell, please. Oh, hell no. Don't go. Jesus made the way so plain, made it so easy. The only thing you got to do is admit that you are a low-down, dirty, rotten, undone sinner, and you need a Savior to redeem my soul. I repent of my sins. Come into my life right now. Come on, Lord Jesus, and save my soul. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus. Yeah. Come to Jesus just now. What will he do? He will save you. Oh, yeah. He will save you. Oh, he will save you just now. Just now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you just now. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him just now. Just now. Oh, I love him. Yeah. Oh, I love him just now. This is Elder Bizarre. Love you all out there. Continue to listen, please. Get somebody with you. Amen. I'll be on Wednesday night. I got to keep on rolling. I got to keep on moving. I can't stop now. The time is late. The sun is going down. This is the day of redemption.